Welcome to Company Showcase, an advertising feature on HowStreet.com.
I'm Jim Goddard. I'm speaking with Larry Ray, CEO and President of American Manganese. Welcome back to the show, Larry.
Thanks, Jim.
Larry, people know with the push for electric cars, they're going to need a source of metals for all the batteries needed. Why is American Manganese one of the solutions to that?
Yeah, because we can recycle 100% of those special metals, and so that cuts down on having to mine them. It gives you a steady supply because eventually there will be a steady supply of batteries and scraps to be processed, and so we could be a big part of that solution. I think we're also, big part of every solution. We have a closed-loop technology that allows us to reuse the water, so we're not in dry climates. We're not going through a lot of water except through evaporation. And getting back 100% is kind of our goal. I mean, we've gotten that in a lot of tests so far. So, and that's 100% in recoveries and purities. So it's, I think we're on the leading edge of the technology for this sort of thing that these battery manufacturers are going to require. And not only that, but the owners of electric vehicles and concerned citizens want to know what's going to happen with the batteries when they reach the end of life. Well, they can be reused immediately. We want to have a recycling plant that attaches to a gigafactory. And anytime there's scrap material available, we can reproduce the cathode materials that go into the battery right there on the spot. And so there's no transportation, there's nothing involved in the extra costs, and it's a solution that is going to have its day in the sun.
Larry, for people new to American Manganese, can you explain exactly what the company's all about?
Well, it's a critical metals company that developed the process of with patents on patents on processing very low grades, 2 to 3% of manganese. That's what the U.S. has abundance of. We're actually doing work for the Department of Defense on the Wendon stockpile. So we hope to have the final results here very soon, and and then hopefully we'll get to move on to the next phase. And but what I really want to talk about, Jim, is I've gotten a lot of emails over the last week, and some from concerned shareholders that because of the prevalence of predator trading, they're wondering whether they should sell their stock. And, of course, that's the whole idea of the predators, is to get the shareholders to sell. And I said, basically, I'll go through an explanation of it. You know, back in 2012, when I recognized that it was short traders that were taking the market down so rapidly, and it wasn't just my company, it was everything that was on the board was getting shorted. And, it's became the home run for predator traders or short traders, and when they got rid of the uptick rule here in Canada, which means there's no short rule, so there's no requirements, actually, unless a brokerage firm requires it, and I haven't seen a lot of that, where they borrow the stock. I know there's a lot of shorting goes out of one of the houses that holds a few million of my shares, and they've never been borrowed. So it's a prevalent problem that how do you get over it? And when I finally reached this idea that the solution was to, we were a penny and a half to 2 cents at that time. And I would get people to buy penny and a half, 2 cent shares, and they later became, millionaires just on their holdings at 30 cents. And because the stock took a jump in 2016 to 35, it settled in 20 to 30. And we raised all the money we needed to get our patents, to do the R&D, And we still have lots of money in the till right now to complete all that work. We're just around the corner from everything being completed. There hasn't been a lot of press releases lately because everybody was locked in. And this is the summer months. It's not only the summer doldrums. The summer doldrums are created by the fact that people are on holidays. And people are on holidays, so your work, your level of work and turnaround goes down. And so it's not a good month for news, but we'll have news. We certainly are not sitting on any bad news. And I say that because, you know, I could be sued if we were. And the fact of the matter is we're not. So going back to the predator trading, what's the solution? Well, I tried going down and talking at special meetings and everything about the stock market, bringing literature and down with me and piling it up at the end of the room, getting up and talking about predator trading, and all I got was almost booze. And but the fact of the matter was we started writing about it, myself and Dan McGrady, back in 2012-13. We made a few of the national papers, and but other than that, nobody was interested in listening. Certainly CEOs I talked to were not interested in what I had to say. And so, you know, basically it was kind of a one-man fight as far as I can see. There might have been maybe three or four other CEOs that tried to battle the uphill battle of going after the predators through the exchanges and IROC and but nothing was satisfactory in that direction, and everything was legal now to actually short the stock. Why wouldn't you? You're a broker, and why would you go around making phone calls to your clients to buy an IPO or something? They just basically, all they had to do was sell stock every day. That's not a hard job, and, you know, and make money. So we're under that. We're under that. And how do you beat it? Well, you know, we collectively bought a lot of stock in the 1.5-2 cent range. And not myself. I actually had to sell 1 million shares in 2015 to keep the listing requirements up. And I certainly am hurting from that. And but I've still got a lot of stock. And I think that it's going to be the big winner at the end of the day. I can't see anything but it being a winner. We're in the eye of the storm here. We've got patents on our process. It's, you know, people try to belittle the patents and all that, but it happens to be that, I see at least, and that's just from one publication, 10 or 12 patent applications every day from major battery manufacturers, EV car manufacturers, the whole works, and, they believe in patents and so do I. So I think that what I would say to the guy that was wondering whether he should sell his stock, even though he recognized that's what they wanted him to do, and I would say to him, don't. You know, I had some shareholders that have been with me for a few years in the 20-cent range, and, you know, the big campaign on the bull boards pretty much destabilized them. And they sold their stock, and it was only 2 or 3 weeks before the stock ran to $2.86. Now, if you had 1 million shares and you sold them, now you've just missed out on, you sold them for, well, at 20 cents, you might get $200,000. And you sold them and missing out on a potential profit there of, say, $2.5 million on 1 million shares. And, you know, that kind of breaks your heart to see that sort of thing happening. And, but, you know, if you've tried to get them to hold in there, if they keep getting to you and you can recognize where their concerns are coming from the bull boards, the CEO boards, you recognize the pattern. And, you know, they pretty much made up their mind before they phone you. So they go ahead and sell. And it's unfortunate that they missed out on the big win after waiting 2 or 3 years. And, you know, it's something that I don't like to see happen. Now, just to give you an example, the, you know, I'm looking at retirement in the next couple of years. What am I going to do, blow all my stock out and have cash in my account? Well, I'm concerned about having cash in my account because, you know, we have heavy-duty inflation, and that inflation could affect the value of my cash. It could go down rapidly to actually to zero, and so that exposes you to another risk. So what I would do, and this is after a lot of careful thought, what I would do is I would sell enough to make sure all my bills were paid for and I had, you know, a few hundred thousand or $1 million in the bank to look after extraordinary things, and I'd keep the rest in shares. Why would I keep them in shares? Well, you know, I've worked hard to develop this company into where it is today, and I think that the best investment out there, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't have to research it, I've been with it every step of the way, is ownership in the AMI shares. So I would never sell all my stock. I probably wouldn't even sell half. So it would, what it really does is that I feel like I'm protected that way. Unless there's a shift in management where I can see policy changes coming up, and that usually fucks up a company. And then I might be a seller of the stock, but not until I saw that developing. It's hell. Why would I go anywhere else to buy ownership in a company that I have to, you know, do due diligence on, and then I have to get to know the management of, so I know that they're square away people. And why wouldn't I keep shares in the company that I helped build? So that's kind of where I'm at. What I'm really saying is, sure, you know, if it goes up to say $4 or $5 and you want to sell some, sell them, but don't sell it all, because then you'll be looking around for something else to buy, and you could lose that cash in a real jiffy. So you know, keep a little bit in the shares that you've ridden for. Some of these guys have been involved in this market for close to 15 years, and I find that some of them are the most critical of what I do than anybody else. You know, nobody else would have taken a penny and a half cent stock unless they rolled it back and gave it a new start in life. Now we've got 217 million shares outstanding, which is the kind of float that institutions like to see. That's a minimum float. And because they want to be able to get in and out of the stock. They don't want to, you know, be stuck, you know, with a illiquid stock. And so that's the next move that we're going for, is we're going to try to attract more and more institutions into the stock. And that spreads out the risk. It gives us a lot of exposure. And it's kind of the way to go. Now, I had a whole bunch of things written down which I never read because, you know, one of the things I didn't mention was the fact that we now use a lot of social media. We're not into hiring IR because how does IR bring in the kind of buying that we need? You know, I want to spread it around amongst a large group of people rather than consolidated in a few hands. And because a large group of people, when they sell, they don't sell all at the same time. When they buy, they don't buy all at the same time. So you have an orderly market. And it's, you know, I see nothing but a great future going on. I know it's below a dollar right now. I looked at the average price. It was about just under 98 cents on the day, but I haven't seen the close yet, and it doesn't mean that that's the last price you'll see, because for some reason or another, 15 minutes after, and I got real time, 15 minutes after the reported position of the stock and the last price, all of a sudden a few thousand shares come through at a lower price. And that happens too often, and so you know, everything's rigged in the favor of predators, but you can get around that. We've gotten around it twice, and we'll get around it three times. And, you know, the biggest thing is keep your head down, your ass up, and do the right job. You make sure that you're doing things that the end product user wants. That's the battery manufacturer, not what you think they want. And so that's what we work towards, is giving them what they want.
Larry, where can people get more information about American Manganese, and where are you traded?
American Manganese has a website out there, AmericanManganeseInc.com. All our press releases are on there. We do about 40 or 50 a year, even though the guy on the billboards that keeps bashing the company acts like we put nothing out but, crap. But nothing could be further from the truth. As far as I'm concerning, they're not just maligning the company and the management. They're also doing the same thing to Cometco, and that's a shame. But they can get all the information they need from that. We're traded on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol AMY. We're traded in the U.S. QB board under the symbol AMYZF. And we're traded in Frankfurt under the symbol 2AM. You can contact the company or contact me at LREAUGH@AMYMN.com. Or you can phone 778-574-4444.
Larry, thank you so much for the update.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Larry Ray, CEO and President of American Manganese. I'm Jim Goddard. Our conversation took place on August 20th.
Comments made on Company Showcase are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Archived online at HowStreet.com. Company Showcase is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.